Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Chapter 11. Athaliah. Who is Athaliah? She's the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. When Jehoshaphat, righteous King Jehoshaphat in the south, and wicked King Ahab in the northern 10 tribes region, Ahab says, let's get our kingdoms together. And Jehoshaphat, in the spirit of unity, I suppose, they have this exchange program. Not only does Jehoshaphat follow Ahab in a terrible idea of going after a fellow by the name of Ben-Hadad, but you know what else Jehoshaphat does? When Ahab and Jezebel have a number of sons and daughters, Jehoshaphat marries his own son to one of Jezebel's daughters. What does the Bible say about being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever? This Athaliah is that daughter. And she marries Joram, Jehoshaphat's son. Ahaziah was a bad, evil king of Judah that Jehu, last chapter, murdered and killed. And when Athaliah saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. What is she doing? Not my son has been killed, but hey, this is my chance to seize the throne of Judah. She orders the death of all the rightful heirs of Jehoshaphat, the rightful lineage of King David. Can you imagine when she kills all of the rightful heirs of King David? And everybody's going, what's going on with this girl? She's instituting Baal worship. In the book of 2 Chronicles, fills in a bit more of the details. She is ransacking God's temple. And a lot of the cherished prizes inside had been taken and literally melted down and given over to Baal worship. That's not a good thing. She's on the throne. She's taken complete control of the Democratic and Republican delegation. And the people are going, what's going on? And there's a tendency to say, oh, the political system is in such chaos and upside downness. Obviously, God is not watching. He promised it someone from the lineage of David. All is lost, are saying many. And I wrote in my margin, gee, that sounds like the current political cycle. By the way, is God not watching? Watch verse 2. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, the king who was killed by Jehu, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from the king's sons who were being murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her, notice this, in the house of the Lord. For 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. Whenever the political process seems to be breaking down, you know what you do? You fall apart into a million pieces, draw the drapes, and curl up in the fetal position. Well, that's one option. Or, hold your finger here, go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 was written when David was about 70 years of age. In 2 Samuel 21, David, his heart was willing, but his body was failing him. And so he says, I'm going to war. He probably said, I'm going to war. And the men of the army are saying, David, dude, we love the spirit and the spunk, but you can't be killed because then the light of Israel would be out. David, our king, dude, you gotta go back to Jerusalem. David's all, I remember the glory days. Psalm 27, we won't read the whole thing. We'll get down to about verse 6. The Lord is my light, because that's what they were saying. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And remember, he's well advanced in years now. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I think this verse is for some of y'all tonight. I know it's for me. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. What will you be confident in, David? Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. What is that, a brand new car? Nope. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. There's something about get to church. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what's going on, get to the house of God. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. Do you know that we did that tonight when we were singing praises? You were petitioning and you were inquiring of the Lord. I was just singing the verse. Your heart was crying out. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His where, everybody. Pavilion. There's something important about get to church, y'all. Get to church. Yeah, but there's goof-ups in church. All you goof-ups, go ahead and raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Living stones are at the church, you guys. He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. We say come noon to 1 o'clock Monday through Thursday. But you can wander in pretty much whenever you need. I have done that. Lights off. I come in here and I lay across some of the pews. I'm not telling you which area, but it's over there somewhere. And I just cry out to the Lord sometimes. Sometimes it's not when I have a tremendous need. Sometimes it's just, I'm overwhelmed by Your presence, Lord. Lord, I need to be a better husband. I need to be a better father. Lord, there's a particular prickly series of questions and challenges I don't have the answer or the wisdom for. One more time. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. What, David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. And therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. He's not feeling joy when he just got turned away from the battlefield. David, we love the heart, but dude, you don't have the physical strength. Please, just go. Go. Dragging his sword. I remember the days of running at Goliath. Oh, physical body, you've let me down. That's not what he says. Verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of what, everybody? Sacrifices of what? Joy in his tabernacles. And I will sing, yes! We will sing, yes! Instead of, nope, can't do it. Yes, Lord, I will sing praises to the Lord. I wrote my margin right here. Faith, not feelings. Back to Kings. Now we're in verse 4. In the seventh year, Jehoiada, he's a godly prince, right in your margin there, 2 Chronicles 22, verse 11. This lets us know that Jehoiada and Jehosheba were married. They were husband and wife. And that Jehoiada is not just a priest, he's the high priest. So 2 Chronicles fills us in a bit more. In the seventh year, Jehoiada, which is Jehosheba's husband and high priest, sent and brought the captains of hundreds of the army. Remember, Athaliah has been ruling and reigning now for about 6 years. Then he went and got some of the bodyguards and then the escorts and brought them into the house of the Lord to him. And he made a covenant with them and took an oath from them in the house of the Lord. We are going to tell Athaliah, you are not the rightful ruler of this nation. This boy is Joash. He's the rightful heir of King David. So take an oath. Everybody swear? Everybody swear? We swear. And then he showed them the king's son. That's fascinating to me. Godly Jehoiada says, faith first, and then you get to see him. Jesus is our high priest, and there's a bit of a model going on. When it's going rough, the rough go to the movies. We all know that. Or go shopping. Favorite restaurant. Your high priest, Jesus, he says to you, I've got something for you. You read it in a word or a verse. He brings to your mind something that you had read before. And then we say, but I don't feel it yet. I'll wait till I feel right before I do it. Is that the good way to go? Here's an interesting model. Let us commit by faith first. What about this child you said you saw? Can I let me see him first? Yes, we are in to the rightful king of Judah. And then after they stepped out in faith first, then, and here he is. Often before revelation, brothers and sisters, there has to be obedience. Faith before feelings. Verse 5. Then he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. One third of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. One third shall be at the gate of Sur. One third at the gate behind the escorts. You shall keep the watch of the house, lest it be broken down. So get everybody all spread out. Verse 7. The two contingents of you who go off duty on the Sabbath. He is waiting for a Sabbath. He's waiting for a time when most of Israel, most of Judah, would be here at the temple. This Sabbath could have been one of the high holy days when practically the whole nation was there. But you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. Because when we make this announcement, who the real king is, all the followers of Athaliah are going to take exception to that. Don't let anybody near the king, 7 years old at the time. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. This is fascinating to me. Watch where these weapons that are handed out, watch where they come from. So the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. Each of them took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath and came to Jehoiada the priest. Verse 10, and the priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of the Lord. That's several generations ago now. This is fascinating to me. All the swords and shields King David had captured in his many victorious battles. These captured enemy weapons, you might want to scratch in your margin there, testimonies, had been kept in the house of the Lord. Testimonies are important in God's house. Modeled here by actual shields and swords, keep your Jesus glasses on. First, these weapons confiscated in victorious campaigns of King David, these testimonies, first, they demonstrate the mighty works of an awesome God. Secondly, they inspire other worshipers. Thirdly, and this is just to name a few, perhaps you could make up some of your own. Thirdly, they can be pulled down for others to use. Is that good, you guys? That's another reason to get to church when things are going rough. And don't just kind of hang in the back. Not saying anything against you guys in the back, but not just hanging in the back and saying, oh, I'm here. But even maybe open up a little bit and ask someone to pray with you, to stand with you. And wouldn't it be something if that person told you of a testimony that was similar to what you are now going through? That's like one of these swords and shields. Let me pop that off of the wall of the temple. And David used it with great effectiveness. You try. Verse 11. Then the escorts stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, and all around the king, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, by the altar of the house. Verse 12, and he brought the king's son, put a crown on his little head, and gave him the testimony. You know what that is? That's God's word, you guys. That's the law of Moses. Put a crown on his head and the Bible in his hand. They made him king and anointed him, and they clapped their hands and said, long live the king! Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people, she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by a pillar according to the custom. What this means is he was standing in the customary place that on high days, high holy days like this, that's where the king stood. So here's a 7-year-old. She's all, I thought I got all of them. Remember back when we first started, when it looked like it was curtains and the political system was a mess? Do you see God's faithfulness having his man in place? Even though you didn't see it 6 years ago. Does that help everybody? And the leaders and the trumpeters were by the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. So Athaliah tore her clothes, and she cried out, treason, treason. Oh, seriously? Remember, 2 Chronicles said that her minions looted the temple and broke it down. It was in a tremendous state of repair. I wrote in my margin, selective memory, hello. I bet if you would have strapped her to a lie detector, she would have passed it, thinking, I've been wronged. No, it was treason for Athaliah to murder the rightful heirs to the throne, wouldn't you agree? It was treason for Athaliah to pronounce herself queen. It was treason for Athaliah to lead Israel to Baal worship. Joash is the rightful king. Athaliah is the usurper. She's a true daughter of Jezebel, isn't she? Verse 15, And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and the officers of the army, said to them, take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her. For the priest had said, do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord. Remember, that wasn't to happen on the Temple Mount proper. Verse 16, so they seized her and she went by the way of the horse's entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord, the king, and the people, that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. So the people are all, "Wee, the rightful king is now on the throne. Should be smooth sailing from here, right?" Verse 18, and all the people of the land went to the temple of Baal, and they tore it down. They thoroughly broke in pieces its altars and images and killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. Verse 19, then he took the captains of hundreds and the bodyguards and the escorts and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by way of the gate of the escorts to the king's house. Then he sat on the throne of the king, 7 years old. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword in the king's house. Jehoash was 7 years old when the king came. By the way, this is a bit of a model of Revelation 19. The real king shows up. The wicked usurper and murderer is dispatched. It's what happens in Revelation 19. The true king is anointed. The people rejoice. There is peace. And if that's where it ended, and they all lived happily ever after, number one, it wouldn't be talking about real humans. Chapter 12, I knew we were going to get here. In the seventh year of Jehu, the cameras are now going to stay to the south. Jehoash, a little bit different spelling in this chapter, but same guy. Jehoash became king. He reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest had instructed him. This is important. 2 Chronicles, around chapter 24, says that Jehoiada lived to be 130. Quite an old age. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada was instructing him. Jesus' glasses on. As long as Jehoash was in his word and moving according to the word, things went well. Verse 3. But the high places, the Baal stuff, they got the main centroids of worship. But some of the outer-lying regions, he didn't really worry too much about that. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And I was thinking about that. There's a model here for us even still. Much of the kingdom was in line, behaving godly. Yeah, there was a few of the outlying regions where the flesh was doing its thing. What are you supposed to do about that? Look what he does. Verse 4. And Jehoiash said to the priests, hey, all the money of the dedicated gifts that are brought into the house of the Lord, all your various vows, and the Bible prescribes different sort of offerings that you can give, take all of that money dedicated, and each man's census money, each man's assessment money, all prescribed in the Old Testament law, and all the money that a man purposes in his heart to bring to the house of the Lord, let the priests take it themselves, each from his constituency. Because remember, the Levitical priests, they didn't hold a job outside of their preparation time for the ministry in the temple. And so he's saying, go ahead and you begin to draw a salary again, you priests, because remember, Athaliah had put the kibosh on all that stuff. So let's get you guys back to ministering again.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.